Welcome to Aesthetic Pulse, where we help passionate and caring aesthetic practice leaders get clarity around what is and what is not working in marketing.
So get out your pen and paper because we are here to open the hood and show you how you can take actionable steps to improving your aesthetics practice.
We are thrilled you're here. Welcome, everyone. We have a very special guest today, and I cannot wait to introduce her. Her name is Meredith, and Meredith has actually been working with us for a little over a year now. I believe it was January 2023 that we started working together, right, Meredith?
Yep.
So we know her so well, and I have to say that we absolutely adore her, and I truly believe that you guys are going to learn so much from her. So Meredith is our real specialist. She's our video content creator, our strategist. She's absolutely incredible at what she does. And I would love to just kind of turn it over to you, Meredith, just to kind of talk about, you know, your history with video content, some of the highlights of your career, some of the things that you have loved the most. And it can be for our clients and non-clients both. So we'd love to hear from you.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Meredith. So before I had anything to do with content creation, I was actually working in health insurance for 10 years, and it wasn't feeding my creative soul at all. So when my first daughter was born, I decided to stay at home and raise her. And then I was a stay-at-home mom for 5 years. And then once both of my daughters went to school, I was like, I need to do something. So I was like, why not social media? Because I had grown my pets account to 40,000 followers. And that's what everyone was telling me to do. They're like, you need to do something with this. So I started applying for all these jobs, and you guys reached out to me, and it's been amazing ever since. Some other gigs as well, too.
I love that. Do you want to just kind of highlight maybe some of the things that you've been able to accomplish with your video content? I know you're not going to want to brag about yourself, but you've definitely done some big things, such as being on the Ellen Show. I would love for you to talk about that. And just how the experience went, how you grew to 40,000 followers, just some of the strategies you had in place to do that and how you try to replicate that with our clients now.
So when I started my pet's Instagram account, it was mainly like photos to start. Remember when Instagram used to be like that? And so I was flooding my own feed with pug pictures. And then I was a little self-conscious about it. So I realized that there were animal accounts. So I was like, oh, I'll create one. And I had to have good handle. So I chose this pug's life. And I slowly grew his account with really good pictures and captions. And then he was featured by large accounts like BarkBox and Dogs of Instagram. And my goal eventually became to be featured on Ellen's Instagram page. It was an actual personal goal. And so I was just, you know, posting cute baby dog content. My firstborn was like the chillest baby, so it was very easy to do that. And one day I got a DM from Ellen's producers saying if I wanted to be featured on the Rate My Baby segment. And I was like, yeah, obviously. So I didn't even really know what it was, but I was very excited. So it was just a segment where she would take like 5 photos of a baby and the family dog, and she would vote on the cutest baby and dog. And so Charlie and Maya won, and it was just like the best day of my life. And then, you know, she's like, Charlie and Maya, congratulations. And she's like, all right, J-Lo, come out. And it's like, this is so surreal, you know, like followed by J-Lo. And then a few weeks later, my following like took a huge surge, or there was a huge surge in followers. And I was like, what's going on? And people were like, oh, you're on Ellen's Instagram page. So that happened. And then Reese Witherspoon took that picture and she posted it in her stories. And so it was just like, so cool. Sorry, I guess I went off on a tangent about Ellen.
No, we love it. We love it.
And then, you know, we would be featured in BuzzFeed and some articles, or just, you know, how they have like the picture things. So we were in those a bunch, and then local news outlets. And so I grew my following that way. And then once it transitioned to video, I had to change my strategy because I was so used to photos. And to be honest, I ignored reels for a while. I was like, I got 2 kids. I'm too busy for this. But then I decided, you know what? I'm going to make reels my thing. Like, let's do this. And then once I did that, it was just like things kind of took off from there. So recent videos that I've done that I've loved, like they tend to be like kind of sappy, but people love them. So it's like, if it's relatable and like kind of sappy, like I get a huge, like they're viral essentially.
Yeah, I have to agree that anything that plays into the emotion always does best, whether it shocks people. I've had some of those myself where I've done things that are way outside of my comfort zone, but then they always explode. But, you know, almost giving like the shock factor or like the warm heartfelt things or the funny, entertaining things, those are always the pieces that usually do the best and have the most virality. I don't know if that's how you feel too in your experience, but I feel like always those times when you like give it that extra emotion, whatever the emotion is, they always tend to do better.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I would love for you to just kind of talk about, even with our clients, when you have, you know, a client that you're working with and you're trying to produce good video content, what are some of the strategies that you would recommend that have been successful in this industry that anyone listening could really take and run with for their own account?
So I love when I can show off like the personality of the client. I think that's just so helpful because people are like, oh, now I know them. Oh, they're kind of funny. I'd like to get my talks from them. So anytime I can find an audio that like fits that, it's just great. And I feel like the reels do really well. Obviously, you know, having a strong hook, like getting them in, like, what is somebody going to relate to? So like, one of the things is, what do people get wrong about skincare? I'm going to stick around for something like that because I'm like, well, what am I doing wrong with my skincare? So you just want to have a strong hook. And then at the end of the video, you obviously want a good call to action to like get people to engage somehow, whether it's following you, liking your video, commenting. So an example is like, what skincare faux pas are you guilty of? Let us know in the comments. And it just drives up engagement that way.
Yeah, I would also love to kind of talk about getting outside of comfort zones with, like, if you're listening, I think sometimes when I say this, people interpret it as like, you have to be dancey or silly or like be hip hopping around. Like you really don't. Yeah. But getting out of your comfort zone a little bit creatively, I think is important. Like I would love to highlight, we did a client reel and I about died. It got so much traction and it was one that was a little bit outside of their comfort zone, but it was with a trending reel that was happening. And I about died laughing when you sent it my way because it was just so out of their comfort zone in the sense that I don't want to say that it was unprofessional because I feel like we're always professional, but it was a little bit more on the edgy side. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to like say names or anything like that, but I'm sure you know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But it was just like a little bit edgier, but it was hysterical. And I feel like that's why I got so much traction. And, you know, people love that kind of stuff. They want to see you in, you know, as a human. Like, yes, of course, it's okay to be personable and professional, but also it's okay to be funny and a little bit edgy with your content because people eat that up.
I want to kind of back up a little bit for the listeners because I think that there's probably people sitting there thinking like, how is she doing reels for clients when she's located in one place, but you guys serve clients all over the country? So would you kind of just tell the listeners a little bit about your process and like, how do you partner with somebody that is across the country and how do you get to know them from across the country? And then how do you, you know, edit the videos and post them just logistically, just because I think some clients that we've done discovery calls with and such, a big challenge for them is reels and they can outsource help and support with reels. And so I kind of want to give them like a framework of what it looks like, what we do for our clients in case if anyone wants to kind of replicate that too, you know, and then kind of gives a little bit more context to the conversation around like getting to know clients and how do we, you know, make sure that we're growing their account authentically and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So you guys hire amazing photographers. That's like step number one. And then I'm put in touch with them. And then I develop a relationship with them via texting, honestly. And what we do monthly is I come up with a shot list. So I go on Instagram and I find out like what are the trending audios. And then we have a content calendar that has the content that's planned for the month ahead. And then I pull from that and I'm like, how can I use this trending audio to align with the content for the next month? And then I link all of the Instagram audios and then I write my vision underneath and I said notes. And then the photographers that I work with are all amazing. And I feel very lucky because they get my vision. And then what they do is they go to the client, they get all the videos and then they send them to me. And I just get to work on Instagram and I create copy that way. I try to think of like hooks that like are going to get the people in the first screen, like using words like you, I don't know, maybe that's silly, but like just something that people can relate to. And then just, I don't keep the videos very long because people lose interest. And then I write a great caption to go along with it.
And yeah, she is phenomenal at caption writing. So
she really is. I love how you mentioned that you tie in the reel strategy to the rest of the content, because I do notice that on some accounts sometimes that reels, you know, people just try to jump on any random reel and post about it, and then it doesn't really align, you know, with the purpose of that account. And so, you know, we have a lot of clients. Well, I think anyone that has an Instagram wants to go viral at some point, but we've had the conversation before about like, just because you get a high number of views doesn't mean it's going to translate into a high number of clients coming your way. So I love how you shared that you're tying in the video content to the rest of the content calendar. So that way everything is kind of one working machine versus, you know, seeing something funny about, you know, having your breakfast and coffee in the morning. And then they're like, the rest of the account is about skincare. And it's like, just not.
Yeah.
You know, in alignment. So,
And I think it's important. Something else to mention is we always have meetings every month as a group where we talk about each client individually. I think this is important because we do want to have a very good understanding of the client, because some of our clients, again, are not the dancey type, you know, and that's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Some are though, and they're a hoot, and it's so fun. And you can throw that kind of stuff their way. But I would say it's very important to us to understand what our client is comfortable with, what kind of messaging they're trying to portray, because that's very important. You know, if you're trying to be like the girl next door, really fun, your content needs to portray that, and your video content especially needs to look like that. So however you want your client to feel when they walk in the door, that's how we want them feeling watching the video content. So if it's like a relaxing spa-like environment you're trying to create, those are the kinds of trending reels you're going to want to find for your account. The soft, the comforting kind of sounds versus the party kind of content.
Yeah.
You want to, you know, whatever you're trying to exude for your clinic, that's the kind of content you need to be looking for. And I love what you said, Andrea, because sometimes I feel like people just want to jump on everything. And that's not always smart. That's not always doing your brand well, because again, you want to be a brand. You want to exude your brand, and it's very important to stay consistent with that.
I agree. I would say that we've had that conversation many of times about jumping on trends and just, okay, how do we take this trend and fit it to you and to your clients and to your followers? Because yes, it's super fun to get like, you know, your reel shared or commented on by someone else, but is it really serving your clients or your ideal clients or followers with what your vision is? You know, I did want to ask for any of the listeners out there that are just like, how do I find a trending audio? Like, how do I even get started with reels? How would you, Meredith, for a person that was starting from scratch, like how do they really find a trending audio and, you know, how do they use it? I mean, obviously we're not on screen right now for you to be able to share it with them, but like, how do you find it? Is it a website that you use, or do you scroll through the app itself, or, you know, how do you go about finding a good one for each client?
So what you guys have implemented is finding trending audio under 5,000 uses, which is great. And the way you do that is you go on the Instagram app and you go to like the reels, like toggle to the reels section, and you start scrolling and you look for that little arrow, and then you click on the audio and you see how many uses it has. And it's great. Really, it's as simple as that. Yeah.
Yes, it is very simple. Another tip I'd love to give is if you're an active TikTok user, you can see the trends that are getting big on TikTok. Instagram's always about 2 weeks behind. So if you want to be early on the trends, that's another tip that I will give, is watch out for those current trending things on TikTok and try to find creators that have used that on TikTok and see if they've used it on Instagram as well.
Yep,
because then you can kind of be early on the trend.
And then also when you're scrolling and if you keep hearing the same audio, like over and over, like it's trending.
Yes. Do we want to talk a little bit about why we like to stick to under 5,000? Meredith, do you want to kind of answer that? Like why we would even feel like the uses is important?
Because when it's 10, 15, 50, 100,000, like it's saturated, right? You want to get it early on in the game when it can get more views and more like reach out there.
So just how the algorithm works, the quicker you jump on a trend, the more likely Instagram's going to push it out. But if you're competing with 100,000 people with a trending audio, it's not getting pushed as far as if there's 300 view or 300 uses and it's starting to trend. You're going to get more views the earlier you can jump on a trend.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, for me as an Instagram user, when I'm scrolling through Instagram and I see a trend, like the first few times it's funny, but then after a while, I'm like, oh, I already saw that. And I won't even watch the whole thing. You know, especially some of the bigger ones. Yeah, you just are like, oh, I'm already over it, you know, and you kind of move on. So you definitely getting on it early is smart for sure. It's hard to tell which ones are going to blow up. So sometimes it's not always an exact science. And then even like, within the, when you click on the audio, you can get inspiration for how other people use the audio, which I feel like is really helpful sometimes too. If you're like, I really like this audio and it applies to me, but you're not exactly sure how to use it, you can kind of see what other people did, or you can see what other people did and say, I'm doing something completely different with it so that I actually get some sort of, you know, like a unique factor to mine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to make it my own whenever possible, but I do. I also scroll for inspiration, like how do I apply this to skincare or med spas? And then if there's a med spa one in there, I'm like, yes. And then I tweak it.
Yeah, I think it's important to tweak no matter what, because we don't want to be like directly copying people.
Exactly.
Unless it's like a trend that's trending for a very specific reason, then that's okay. But sometimes I see people like literally copy and paste other people's videos, and I always feel like that's a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So Meredith, for people who are really uncomfortable getting on video and they're like, you know, I don't really know where to start. They might not own, you know, a piece of equipment like we have, like the tripods and that kind of thing. And they're just not really sure how to get inspired about video, but they know they need to be doing it. Is there anything that they could do as like an entry level thing? Like, is there anything you would suggest someone starting? Like, is it talking reels where they're just kind of sitting in a chair talking? Is it walking through their clinic? Is it stock videos off Canva? You know, I kind of want you to think through that and just kind of tell someone who would be new. And then I want to kind of talk through someone who's like experienced in reels and maybe like teach them something that they didn't know.
Right. Okay. So I would say walking through your clinic, that's a perfect starting point. You don't have to talk. You just have to walk and get filmed, and it shows off your clinic, and like the audio makes it great. The transitions, like it's very easy to create a reel that way. If you're more comfortable, do a talking point. We can edit it all out and you'll end up looking so polished. There are great editing apps and it's just, it makes it so easy. So I don't want people to worry about that. I know it's easy for me to say, I actually don't mind being on camera, but put me in front of a bunch of people. No, thank you. But for some reason, I'm totally fine being like in my reels with my dog. I'm just like, oh, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah. I love that. If you were to have a client that is so uncomfortable, not necessarily being in front of the camera, but just with their editing skills, what are some reels that you think would be really easy to start with that don't have to have a lot of transitions or crazy editing?
With them in it or with them not in it? Or
either,
anything?
Either.
Skincare display. Get me footage of your skincare display, and there's guaranteed to be some great audio to go along with it. I mean, some audios are from movies, you know, like it's so easy. So get pictures of or footage of your devices, footage of your treatments. It's very easy to create reels with B-roll. B-roll is amazing. So for people that aren't comfortable, just send us B-roll and we will make what you want and what you need for your account.
Do you want to explain what B-roll is? Because some people listening might not understand what B-roll is.
So B-roll is just video footage. Like you're a fly on the wall. What do you see when you walk into this med spa? So the entryway, outdoor signage, reception, the skincare display again, treatment rooms, like anything can be B-roll.
Love it. Yeah. So it's definitely just like that. Your phone's the fly on the wall and you're just going about your day. Some of my favorite reels actually are just, you know, clients interacting with their clients, not even acknowledging the camera, just smiling, talking with their clients. And then you add some trending audio and a great caption and maybe some text on screen and you have an amazing video. Yeah. And people feel like they know you before they're even sitting in that chair because they see the warm, inviting atmosphere that you're creating just in that video. So I love that you said B-roll because B-roll is so easy and you don't have to have a lot of transitions or crazy editing. Some people, I think, get so worried about that. So
we love
us some B-roll. And I feel like that's kind of what's trending now, too, is just like the simplistic, some text overlay on some B-roll.
I did one recently that it did pretty well. It was skincare maintenance schedule. And it's just like video footage of the clinician doing the before photos of the client. And then it's just people, well, they want to know about what the schedule is, but it's so easy to create a reel. It doesn't have to be a trendy thing. Like it really doesn't.
Yeah. I think that at the beginning of reels coming out, it was the very like, eat, you know, where you had to like point, you know what I mean? Or that was like the start of it. And then there was kind of a lot of dancing or like maybe not dancing, but, you know, kind of stuff that would put someone out of their comfort zone with doing it where they would feel kind of dumb. And I can speak for myself because that was before, that was the time in the business before we had amazing people like you that did all this, you know, with us and stuff. And then Talisa also has a lot of video success as well, a lot of her own success on Instagram and TikTok. And so, you know, thankfully we've kind of moved beyond those trends. But I think that now if you're in a med spa, there's no reason why you couldn't create 10 reels easily in one day, save them to your drafts and post them one day at a time just by taking your phone, doing a simple like slide across your skincare, you know, your skincare shelf, or go to your treatment room and just kind of like zoom your camera down and up and like over across the treatment chair, or you know, over a tray with a tox setup or a chemical peel setup, or, you know, and then just kind of write about that on the reel screen and then in the caption. And then as you mentioned, adding that call to action, like book your appointment today or send me a DM with questions or that kind of thing. I think there's really no reason. I did want to touch on too, when we were thinking about like what types of reels to create. One thing that I feel like it's a constant tug of war with Talisa and I and our clients is that clients, especially clinicians have this draw to post very educational / gory content. And so we're always having the conversation with them about, okay, this is a great idea. This is a really great video and you're showing really cool stuff. But are we trying to attract your followers and your potential clients, or are we trying to grow an audience of peers? Because, you know, kind That's of so what true. You put video content, I mean, I could throw up right now thinking about a specific video. Talisa and I one time got, I don't know, Meredith, you might have been around for it too, because it was a while ago, but we have a plastic surgery client that sent us a video of them doing liposuction on a guy. And it was, I mean, I would say borderline violent looking.
Yeah. Like, yeah. They get aggressive.
It was. And it has to be. I'm sure they were like doing it by the books and all that stuff. They're a great client. And I feel like I can say this because we've laughed about this with them. But like that type of content is never going to have a person watching it say, ooh, sign me up. Like, please come and do that to me. No. They're not going to. But what will is if you're able to show the before and after of the client with that amazing transformation, or tell the story of the client with the transformation, you know, really sharing about your results and, you know, frequently asked questions and that. But some of the other thing that's a really disgusting thing to watch right now is the insertion of threads, the placement of threads.
Yeah.
We also one time had that same plastic surgery client did a lip lift, and they had, so they take a piece of skin out from underneath the nose, and the surgeon did like a boomerang of taking the skin off. And it's like, we are not using that. So I would say, just a good filter to run things through as you're creating video content is, am I trying to attract clients or peers? And it's okay if you're trying to attract peers too. Like that's okay if that's the type of, you know, account you want to have. Cause I would say an account that most of us all watch and listen and pay attention to would be Savannah Boda's account. And she obviously has peers and clients, you know, that follow her. So it can be done. But just keep that in mind, you know, when you're creating content, like who is really going to benefit or engage with this content, you know, and try to have a balance if you are doing both.
I'd have to put a Threads video together. I think I've done a few and I do my best and so far so good. I just ignore the really gory one. Yes, I know. You're like,
you know, you do a great job.
You do.
But you know me too, Meredith. Like I cannot. I cannot if it's even slightly. And that's what I would also suggest is think of like one of your most sensitive clients watching something and would they be okay watching it? That's kind of your rule of thumb, I would say. And again, if your main goal with social media is to attract new clients or engage clients that you already have to come back in,
absolutely,
just keep that in mind that if that's your main goal, your video content needs to reflect that.
Yeah, because you can really hurt yourself if you're putting too much of that out and then you have clients, potential paying clients, just not watch your stuff. Then they're going to miss out on your good stuff too because they're like, oh, I'm just, I don't want to see that. Or you're scaring them away. Because the placement of threads also is not something I would watch and say, yeah, please do that to me. You know, I just wouldn't watch that and say.
The results are amazing.
See, but you could have sold me on it maybe if I never saw the videos that you sent me to Lisa. But I would say even videos with needles like drawing for PRP and that kind of thing, I think you can totally show what's happening. I'm going to kind of go off the script here, but I would say I've had this conversation with my grandma before about just like TV in the house, you know, because I have little kids and it's like you cannot have a show on TV these days that isn't dirty. And it's like, do they have, they can kind of show what's leading up to the thing and like going into the bedroom and shutting the door. They don't have to show the thing, you know? And I think it's kind of similar. Like you can show them getting the needle ready, putting it up to their skin. And I actually, there's one specific reel. I can't remember what client you did it for, but you cut it off right as they were putting the needle right on her skin. And I said to Talisa, yes, I'm so glad she did that because I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch that, but you did show in the video like, okay, we do have to draw your blood in order to do this, but it wasn't the gross like
just show the before and after.
And you know, and even with lip filler, that's another one that I do feel clients try to push us a little bit about showing the placement of lip filler, and it's not necessary to do that.
Those are great.
It is.
No, you can even do it. Yeah, show the before and after, or even if you want to talk about placement of tox or filler. Just do the really cool fast-paced videos where it's like,
I know,
boop, 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 like where you're getting the little white crayon, you know, where they're showing where they're about to place it. That's appropriate. Just don't the actual injection. A lot of people are going to be like,
yeah, they're going to be grossed out by it. Yeah. I mean, even I love the videos. My favorite videos of client transformations are where the client has the mirror and they're looking in the mirror for the first time and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, those are really my favorite ones to show for after. Yep. But yeah, I do want to kind of have listeners think about that too, because just because you're so desensitized to it and you are fascinated by it and think it's cool, there is a large group of us that don't, and you don't want to miss out on sharing, you know, some important messages because you've, you know, kind of grossed them out.
We're trying to normalize these procedures and treatments, right? Like if you're trying to normalize it, don't scare people from it. That's the opposite of what we're trying to
do. I agree.
Yeah.
And it's not like trying to be secretive about it, you know, but you don't need to show people the gory parts of it to have them understand what needs to happen.
No. Yeah, that's an important part. Now, if we're thinking about, and I feel like this is a great question for both of you because you've both grown Instagram accounts and TikTok accounts. If someone were to want, like one big thing, and I know we did a whole episode about TikTok specifically, but we get a question all the time. Can I just take all my Instagram videos and just post them to TikTok? Can we talk a little bit about that? And then also, how many videos on Instagram do you think is a good number per week? And then how many do you think on TikTok is a good number per week? So that people can kind of get a feel for the difference and, you know, kind of, you know, the different strategy as a content creator that you would have to take in order to be successful on both.
So I'll let Meredith answer this too, but I would say I am in a mastermind right now and we focus on video content in this mastermind, and industry experts that are in this, they are incredible, have accounts with millions of followers, make so much money and have very successful businesses from video content. They share that TikTok, it's usually 3 per day. If you want to have a successful TikTok account, you should be putting about 3 videos per day on TikTok. And the style on TikTok can vary from Instagram. I would say some of like the dancey kind of trends, you know, they're going to be on both places and they're going to get big on both places. But I would say TikTok as a whole is a lot more laid back. It's a lot more talking.
Yeah.
If you scroll through TikTok, you'll see a lot of people are like, you'll never believe what happened to me at the grocery store today. That's like the hook. And then they talk. And you just sit there and have to listen because you have to know what happened at the grocery store that day. You're like hooked in. And I would say they're like sitting in their car with a drink, brushing their hair in the car, putting on their makeup. Like it's very laid back and casual is usually what does the best on TikTok versus Instagram. I feel like is still a little bit in that polished phase where a lot of the content that does well is a little bit more polished. And I would say you can get away with doing less content. I would say even putting out like 3 reels per week is totally fine because Instagram's also prioritizing photo and carousel content now. It used to just push reels. And now they're trying to like become their own again and say, we're treating both as equals. And so I would say like 3 a week is fine for Instagram. And I would try to be on early trends and a little bit more polished than what I would put on TikTok personally. So I wouldn't post on both.
As far as like Instagram, I totally agree with you. 3 reels a week, 2 to 4, you know, and that's totally fine. And sometimes I'll post something on TikTok and I'm like, oh, I'll share it on Instagram. And they do vastly different. It's like, it's crazy. Like I'll have one go viral on Instagram and TikTok. It's crickets. I'm like, I don't even get it. Like why?
So true. No, I was going to say, I had a video hit 12 million on Instagram and it hit 3,000 on TikTok. And I was like, I know what?
Yeah.
It made no sense. And then I've had it reversed too, where one time on TikTok, I had a video hit 2 million on TikTok and then it hit like 1,000 on Instagram. And I was like, what? So again, the strategies are very, very different for both, I would say.
So I actually heard from this account, I can't remember who it was, but it was a while ago, on how the algorithm actually works. So what I heard is that you put out a piece of content and it shows it to say 10%. The percent may be different, but say they show it to 10% of your followers. And then if a certain percentage of those 10% view/engage with your content, it will push it out to a larger percentage of your followers and then to a larger percent and then beyond your followers out into the world, you know, so that way they can kind of keep pushing it. Because the goal of Instagram or TikTok or Facebook, anyone's goal is to make a lot of money with ads. And how are they going to make a lot of money with ads is have a lot of viewership and a lot of people spending a lot of time on the app. So their goal is to get you to spend as much time on the app. So they're only going to push out content that has been proven that people are engaging with or watching. So if it starts small and it doesn't do well with that small sample size, it's not going to go farther than that. So
another big thing that the algorithm favors is watch time. So that's why sometimes having shorter videos is for your benefit, unless it's like a TikTok video where you really do have like a funny story to share or something. There's a girl on TikTok that has completely blown up. So I'm trying to show you that there's outliers here too. But she is completely blown up because she talked about this crazy story with her ex.
Yeah.
It's like, could be on like crazy, right? She had like these 10-minute videos. I mean, these were like, and several of them, these 10-minute video segments that you might as well have watched a whole TV series, but she got millions of followers.
Someone sent me that. Someone sent me that, and I don't even have TikTok, and someone sent me that.
Right. So what I'm saying is So when I say make shorter videos, if you have something brilliant and a good story, please do it because people are going to engage with it. But watch time is so important because if you cannot hook people in and get them to listen to you, you got to keep it as short as possible because watch time is huge. Like TikTok, actually, I will give TikTok this above Instagram. Like they are so much better with their analytics because I can go through every single video on my TikTok and see when people start dropping off because then if you're like creating an ad, let's say you can do trial runs organically. This is just like fun little tip for everyone listening. But you can do little trial runs organically where you can like create an ad before you put paid ad spend behind it and see like, okay, oh shoot, the majority of people are dropping off at 3 seconds. What happens at 3 seconds where people are dropping off? Try to switch up your hook. Try to switch up what's happening there. Try it again organically and see like, as soon as the vast majority of people are watching at least 50% of the video, you know you have a good video. So that's a little tip that I would give you is watch your, if you are on TikTok, watch your watch time. Because if people are immediately dropping off, you know you need to work on your hook and the beginning of your video to keep people watching and engaged.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Actually, speaking of like analytics and, you know, Meredith, you mentioned other apps before. Are there any other apps that you think people who are into video content should download? Like, are there any apps you guys really suggest?
Yeah, CapCut. There's just little buttons you push and it can do things for you. I use CapCut literally every single day of my life and I love it. And the nice thing about it too is it's so easy to like adjust volume so you can have several different audio underlays and overlays and you can add music while also having a voiceover, while also having the original audio. Like you can do so many cool things with CapCut. So that is number one I would recommend. There are apps like TrendTalk and things like that that try to give you like trending audio before they're really big. I wouldn't say it's necessary to have apps like that, but they can't hurt, I will say. Like, but if you could only do one app for video editing, CapCut, 1,000,000%.
Interesting.
I'm going to talk about why we don't do text in CapCut, especially for Instagram. So the SEO is much better. When you actually use Instagram's text, it picks up on the SEO of the video. So if you're putting in your text something like, let's say, oh, this is so dumb, but this is just like off the top of my head, like, come get the best facial in all of Pennsylvania, you know, when people type in facials in Pennsylvania, your stuff's going to pop up because if you actually use the text in Instagram, that is included in the SEO part of the video. Whereas if it's a foreign body of text, it doesn't pick up on it. So it's, I know that Instagram texts aren't the cutest. They're not my favorite. CapCut's way better. But if you're trying to get out in front of people, that is your best chance for SEO purposes. So for clients, we always do that.
Yeah, this was a super helpful episode. I feel like we kind of just had a casual conversation around video editing. So if we didn't cover a specific question that a listener has, definitely reach out to us with our help email. It's down below in the show notes. It's hello@smithandcrawford.com. And Meredith, I would love for people to check out your Pug account.
Yes, go check them out. Videos. I know she does an amazing job with her account. So definitely go check her out.
It was such a pleasure, Meredith. Such a pleasure. Thank you for this time and then for everything you do for our clients as well.
See you soon.